Yeah.
Good morning, Your Honor. John Slevin from Peoria on behalf of the plaintiff appellant. I guess, Your Honor, I wonder what I can say in 5 minutes to persuade you to reverse the district court.
Maybe you could start with all the authority that holds that the inability to stand or walk for more than 50 minutes without taking a break is not a substantial limitation on a major life activity.
I could find the two cases that talked about that alone, and those cases we distinguished in our brief, and that they do not have, when it's just that alone, it would be likely to be not significantly impaired a life condition. However, Your Honors, that in the case of John Williams, he had more than just the inability to stand for 50 minutes. He had the inability to stand on one leg, and he could not do that without balancing himself. And he could not lift without taking an inordinate amount of time from something on the floor and lift it up. He was accommodated by doing this by having either the anything on the floor being lifted by a crane, a lift truck, or his coworker. Once it was waist high, once he no longer had to reach down, he could then do the job and did it in an exemplary manner. If you notice his recommendations, his evaluations were all exceptional. They were extremely high, he was considered by his foreman to be an extremely good worker.
In his working, would he be standing in one place or would he be moving around?
He'd be moving around ever so much at this one area. He was taking, and they would uncrate parts that would come in from China, and they would then have to clean them, and then they would be put on and sent over to be repainted and stenciled.
So he's unloading these things?
When the parts came in, they would be lifted for him onto the table where he was working. And then he and his co-worker would be there where they could move around to do it. And if there was a part that had to be lifted by hand, which most parts were such that would be put on a lift truck and lifted up on a pallet and then be put on the table.
He's standing at a bench and working? Is that what he does?
He was standing, and he could move around at that position. He wasn't just standing in a position such he might be if he was on an assembly line.
Could he have sat?
Pardon?
Could he have sat on a stool or something to do the job?
You know, he was doing the job with the accommodations he had, and he didn't ask for a stool. Whether he could have, he probably could have, but they were accommodating him for his condition allowing him to take these short breaks and also having a co-worker lift the parts on the floor for him.
And then on these breaks, he could sit or lie down, couldn't he?
He would either sit or lie down, yes. The thing about John Williams is that if he were just the limitation of 50 pounds, or if he were just he could only stand for 50 minutes and then sit down, it would be much more difficult to consider him to be an American with disability. However, he had, as we say, more than that. He had in his limitations where he could not stand without holding on to something if he's standing on one leg, he could, when he'd lift over and he'd describe how he'd have to try and lift something, and it would take him an inordinate amount of time. The question then is that so clear that a jury, if they found that he was disabled, would be unreasonable? And we think a reasonable jury could, not necessarily would, but a reasonable jury could find that he is a qualified person with a disability. The final thing is that, you know, it's his personal experiences that we had, that there was a Supreme Court case, and if I, I'll not try and mock him. Thank you very much. In the Albertson case, that the court indicated that substantial limiting must be viewed on an individual basis, and the plaintiff must show his disability by offering evidence that the extent of the limitation in terms of his own experience is substantial. We did have personal experiences here of John Williams. We believe it was substantial, and we believe as such that the court erred in granting summary judgment. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Slevin. Mr. Davis?
May it please the court, Mr. Slevin. I'm Roy Davis, and I represent Excel Foundry. Every argument that I would make to the court today is in my brief, and I don't want to waste your time by repeating that, but I'm pleased to answer any questions the court may have.
Well, as described by your opponent, it sounds as if really quite easy to let this person work, right? If he just has to take occasional breaks and get an occasional help lifting a part that weighs more than 50 pounds, why wouldn't the company do that?
Because he was discharged for a cause. He was allowed to do that. He worked. He did everything that was required of him. The only medical evidence the company had regarding any disability was an inability to lift over 50 pounds. That's undisputed. That's the only medical evidence we have here. He committed an act which the company considered a dischargeable offense. The company fired him.
Well, you also argue, though, that he wasn't disabled, right?
We don't think he was disabled. We believe that the only medical evidence in this case is the inability to lift more than 50 pounds. There's no medical evidence regarding standing on one leg or inability to bend over or the need to take a rest every 5 or 10 minutes. All we have is the plaintiff's self-serving statements that he required those things. But even if he required those things...
And those statements were made after this litigation was commenced, is that correct?
Yes.
Is that the first time they
were mentioned?
That's
the first time they came up. If you look in his personnel record, the only discussion about his injuries resulting from this fall out of a tree is the inability to lift 50 pounds. And he may have required a rest every hour, but as he said in his deposition, he would be indistinguishable from any other employee in the plant because they all took a rest every hour. It's a foundry.
And that?
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dave. Mr. Slevin, how much time does he have? But you can have, if you have something further, we're happy to listen.
I do have something very quick, Your Honor.
Sure. No, you take your time. You can take your time. We're not that.
We charge against my
that rushed. No.
Very quickly, he was discharged for reasons entirely pretextual, and we comment on that in our brief. He was discharged because he alleged started a rumor in the plant, and I would point out, Your Honors, that in this case, first of all, this plant was one that was known as a rumor mill. There were 16 or 17 violations in the employee handbook that listed them. Starting a rumor was not one of them. No one else had ever been discharged this plant in 31 years, known to the manager, for starting a rumor. There was a progressive discipline procedure, and this was ignored. And a month or two before he was terminated, the management had a meeting in which one of the participants came and testified in the deposition that the management talked about what are they going to do about him because he can't go back to the foundry, which is clear. And finally, Your Honor, I would point out...
If he was able to, as you argued, he's able to do this work with really minimal accommodation, And in fact, Mr. Davis says really kind of zero, because the other guys take a break also. Makes sense. So why was the company trying to get rid of him?
Well, because I believe, Your Honor, that they felt that he was disabled and they wanted to get rid of a disabled person.
He wasn't really. I mean, he may be disabled in the legal sense or something, but he was able to do. But they were willing to let him take, weren't they, to take a break every hour?
Well, they did, and they gave him a co-worker who would pick up the objects on the floor for him, and they made sure that he had, a lift that would brought it. I don't know why they discharged him, but I know that the reason that they gave them for discharge was entirely pretextual. Incidentally, he didn't even...
Are you making a separate... of course, we have these separate ADA offenses. One is that firing a person because he's actually disabled and firing him because you believe he's disabled, even though you're wrong. You think a condition is disabling, but it's not. So are you arguing both of those, that maybe he wasn't disabled, but they believed he was disabled?
No, I'm saying that he was disabled under the requirements, and I also believe that they regarded him as disabled.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you, Mr.
Thanks, Judge.
And Mr. Davis.